Feels like it's been forever, yet it's only Wednesday. So happy to welcome in Toronto Mayor John Tory. Hello, sir.
Hey, how are you doing, both of you?
Good doing very well. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, Mayor, we've had another situation today as we've been, the city has been taking down the encampments in throughout the city's parks today near Lamport Stadium. We had a couple of folks injured, a security officer, I believe, and a police officer. Just wondering, you've been very clear on your position over the last number of months about what these encampments mean to the city, why they're taking down. Do you have any second thoughts when something like this happens today?
Well, I would much rather things didn't happen exactly as they happened today, for sure. I take as an example that yesterday when we went to Alexandra Park, it happened relatively peacefully and there were very few police officers there because there were no protesters there. And so the city staff were able to go about their work without being abused and without being obstructed. And then today was very different. There were a couple of hundred protesters there. And, you know, I think as the police themselves said, they come to have a confrontation with the police. And so I regret that part of it very much, because we do so much work before we get to the stage of clearing the encampment to visit the people over and over again, the people experiencing homelessness, to try to convince them to take indoor housing. And many of them do. We've rehoused 1,700 people since the beginning of the pandemic from encampments into hotels and shelters and other places. But these places are unsafe. They're unhealthy. They're illegal. We've had 130 encampment fires so far this year. We've had 283 visits by emergency services to this one place, Lamport Stadium, today Lamport Park. And we just can't, you know, let it go indefinitely. And what we were finding is that we had left about 14 to 17 people in 30 structures that they wouldn't let us move any of the structures that were empty. They wouldn't, in some cases, let us even talk to the people who were the residents of the encampments. And you just can't let it go on forever. I'm terribly sorry about that, because I'd much rather find other ways to deal with this.
Is there a difference in how today was organized versus yesterday? Because, you know, we obviously didn't have nearly as many protesters yesterday. We have it today. Do you just really never know going in, or did you do things differently?
No, I don't run these operations.
Yes, and by you, sorry, I mean the city, obviously.
Yeah, but I would just say to you, the difference was yesterday, for whatever reason I can't explain, very few protesters showed up, and today a couple hundred showed up. And that makes a big difference, obviously. And when they show up, and if they showed up and sort of stood to the side and watched what was going on, that's one thing. But they get, you know, very actively engaged, and it makes it almost impossible for the city staff to do their work. And that's leaving aside the incredible abuse they direct at city workers. I mean, it's mostly verbal abuse, but it's just, you know, it's these are public servants that are trying very hard to get to have conversations with the people that are the encampment residents to offer them housing, as they've done before 20,000 times in these different encampments over this year. So I just wish that all of this happened in a manner that was different. But we have a responsibility to the people experiencing homelessness and to the communities that surround those parks, and we have a responsibility to keep everybody safe. So when the 200 protesters show up, of course there are going to be police there to protect the homeless people, to protect the protesters, to protect the journalists, to protect the city workers, and everybody that's there.
You know, this is the last question I'll ask about this, then we'll move on, because I've harped on this a number of times. When you look at the obvious massive cost that these types of operations have, and the resistance that you get, and the verbal abuse that our TPS get, you know, do we look at the plan moving forward to try and come up with a different way to do things, or are your hands kind of tied?
I will only tell you that we will continue tomorrow morning, if not tonight, with the work we do, where we go out time after time, 20,000 visits, to visit with the people experiencing homelessness, to take them on tours of the housing to which they'd be taken that is safe indoor housing, to encourage them to come to places where we can provide support for some of the other issues they sometimes experience, whether it's mental health issues or otherwise. We will continue with that work. We continue with it all the time. That is the best way to resolve this. I just wish that some of the people that literally obstruct us in trying to carry out that work, as obstruct the city, would get on board and help us even advocate for more supportive housing, for example. I don't see them when I'm out there in the communities advocating for supportive housing that we're building. And by the way, that's the other thing we're doing. We have 10,000 affordable housing units in the pipeline right now, many of them under construction. We have hundreds of supportive housing units that will be on stream this year to help people who have special needs, including 100 that are already being occupied, including by some people from encampments. So we just carry on with our work. And we carry on trying to do everything we can in a compassionate way. But there does come a time with these encampments where you have to just say that you can't let those people live there indefinitely in an unsafe environment.
So Mayor Patrick Brown from Brampton has, in the last few weeks, sort of pushed the envelope a little bit with the provincial government, asking for easing of restrictions. And most recently now, he's calling for the end to the requirement to wear masks when you're in an outdoor setting. But even settings such as, he uses the example of a sports field where you're watching your kids, your grandkids play, large outdoor spaces like the Brampton Farmers Market. Is this something that you would also call on the province to do, Mayor?
Well, I generally call on the province to do these things after I get some health advice from our medical officer of health, and that is not something that I have canvassed with her, but I will, only because I think that, you know, the more we can have people have their lives return to normal, the better. But, you know, I think that, you know, and we lifted some of the restrictions the other day on distance between people in parks. We repealed those bylaws on the advice of our medical officer of health. And I have not been in the habit during the pandemic, and people can be critical of me for this, of making pronouncements or calling for measures that didn't carry with them the support of our, and in fact, I sometimes even suggest she's the one that will bring them to me, of our medical officer of health, because this is all about health. This is all about making sure we're cautious in reopening so we don't have any chance. And people who think this is over need only look to the lists in the UK and in the US where the Delta variant is increasing at a very rapid pace, and we don't know exactly what the consequences are. So I'm really focused, instead of making those kinds of advocacy statements, I'm focused on getting people vaccinated. That's what I'm really, really, really laser focused on. I think that's what people expect me to be focused on.
So the United States has said that they'll extend their current land border restrictions until the 21st of August, that days after Canada announced that we would permit fully vaccinated Americans to travel into our country. I always try to look at things half full. Is this secretly kind of a win for us because we have Americans coming in, yet Canadians that might leave or maybe going to stay here and spend money locally?
You know, I think in many respects, Canadians who might have left are going to stay here anyway, because I think regardless of what the rules are at the border, a lot of people are, you know, more hesitant about traveling too far afield. And so I think that there was going to be a lot of local tourism. There probably already is. And I think that now that Toronto is emerging from this, so you have indoor dining and you have, you know, many of the attractions open again, you're going to have the Blue Jays playing with some fans allowed in the stadium, same with TFC. I think it's going to lead to a lot of what I'll call local tourism. And boy, oh boy, does our industry here ever need it. I mean, you know, the hotels have been operating at kind of single-digit occupancy for months. A lot of the people that work there have to be called back to work. The restaurants, same thing, that didn't have a patio. So, you know, I just hope a lot of people would decide on their own that the place they should travel and patronize businesses and so on is Toronto and Ontario this summer, just to help our local businesses, you know, their neighbors get back on their feet and get back to work.
It is official. It's the end of an era. You wrote yesterday, I got a haircut. Goodbye to the pandemic hair. I was so glad to see Fernando and Lucy. You're encouraging people, if they haven't already, go and support your hairstylists and barbers and tip well. I was looking at your social media, and there's a question that's been, I've just been dying to ask you since yesterday. Why didn't you go shorter?
Well, because I had so many people tell me they thought the slightly longer hair looked good, not as long as it had arrived at, but
right.
They thought it looked good. So I figured, okay. I mean, it was many, many people telling me that. I mean, it was a bizarre situation because I have many issues, whether it's the stuff we've talked about today or other things that people will approach me on the street on. Well, it had become the case that almost everybody wanted to just talk about my hair, which
sure.
Is bizarre in a certain way. But they all sort of said, oh, you know, leave it a bit longer. So I did. And the other thing is, I mean, if you leave it long and you want to cut it shorter later, you can do that, whereas the reverse is harder to do. So, you know, they took off quite a bit, and there's quite a bit left, and I'm just very thankful I have all this hair.
I thought maybe you'd agreed to do multiple haircuts at multiple different salons.
No. Look, you can see I did it pretty low-key. I mean, we put
you
it
did,
on social
you did,
media because
yes.
There's so much interest, but I was invited to do it in front of the media and have a big, you know, media thing there. But I just wanted to get back to Fernando and Lucy and Ben, who cut my hair and have been so loyal to me. And as I said to other people, these people are loyal to you, too. So please go to the people you used to go to even before the pandemic, because people have changed their habits a bit, but these people didn't work for months and they need you back, and they need you to go maybe for that extra haircut. But you give me an idea, maybe I can go sooner because I got left it longer than otherwise I would have.
Okay, you heard the mayor. Stop asking him about his hair when you see him now, okay?
Just
shake his hand
and
talk about
it. They want.
Okay. We appreciate your time as always, Toronto Mayor John Tory. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful evening.